Today is kind of a sad day in a way for me. Today, this is the last message in this series, in this I Am series, which is, I have gotten so much out of this series just in study and in preparation for it. And Jesus kind of showing himself and revealing himself, you know, in a special way. But today, this is going to be the last, this is the last one. And so let's jump in and let's just allow the Lord to just really speak to our hearts on this last in this series. And I don't know where we're going from here. I'll be preaching next week. I don't know what. Maybe I will. I may come in here and just say, guys, the I Am series, I can't think of anything else after that, so hey, y'all can just go home early today. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. These passages that we're going to read, this section, is probably one of the most beloved of all Scripture. And anyone that truly abides in Jesus is going to love these passages. As a matter of fact, if you want to know who abides in the Lord, all you have to do is say, what do you think about John 15? And if you just say that, if they just say, John 15, what's John 15? They're not abiding. But if you say, what about John 15? Oh, my goodness, I love those passages. I love abiding in the Lord. I love remaining in him. I love that. It'll let you know who really is diving in. But we're going to all dive into John 15 and see what the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts about today. Look at verse 1. There, you could preach a million different directions on this. Jesus says, I am the true vine. That alone, when he says, I am the true vine, you can go historically and look at Israel and Israel's idea that they were the vine and Jesus is letting all those people know, the Jewish people know, and his disciples, actually who he's talking to now, but he's saying to them, no, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. I'm the real one. And so he makes that plain. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts away every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So everything that God wants out of our life has to come through our connection with Jesus. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing of eternal heavenly value without Jesus. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There are three main players in these passages. Jesus says, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. So, number one, main player, Jesus the true vine. Number two, there's another one, and that is the Father, and the Father is the gardener. Number three are the branches. The branches are us. And so I want us to take a look at all three of those so that we kind of understand. A lot of times we miss that gardener part. Sometimes we miss that vine and being connected and abiding part. We miss the Father's the gardener. We kind of take it for granted. But there's something to that that we need to understand. First of all, the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. What is he saying? I'm the life source. I'm the true life source. There is no life source outside of me. He wants us to know that there is no connection that you can have in this universe anywhere with anybody. There is no connection that gives you life outside of the connection with Jesus. He is the vine. How many gardeners do we have here? I'm not talking about the last name. How many gardeners do we have? Anybody have a gardener here? Okay, we have one gardener she knows, and her husband doesn't know he is, but she raised his hand for him. So that means you just help in the garden, but she's the mastermind, right? So if you are a gardener, you understand the where the life comes from. So from the root up through the vine, if you have a tomato, and if you've got an indeterminate tomato, you've got a vine. And that vine comes up, and off of that vine are branches. And those branches are where the fruit comes from. But if there's no life coming in, then you got a problem. So if there is no connection, if there is no true connection with Jesus, the vine, the life giver, all you got is fake fruit. So Joshua comes in last night and brings in this thing that he had bought in. It was a little pile of fake fruit. Now, I'm telling you, this is not the fake fruit. How many of you here are old? Anybody old people like me? Okay, if you are, you remember the fake fruit that used to be looked fake. I mean, it looked fake. And then after you had it for a little while, some kind of this little fuzzy stuff on there would start to wear off. You know what I'm talking about? It was horrible. I mean, you knew when you looked at it, that's fake fruit. This new stuff nowadays, it looks real. I mean, it looks like real fruit. He had this little thing of lettuce, and it's like, I think I could cut that up and eat it. It looked that real. Here's the problem. It is very possible to look like fruit and look like a branch is connected that is not connected. It's very possible. As a matter of fact, I would say that a large portion of the church in this country are people who have a religious connection to the vine, not a relational connection to the vine. See, religion is not real. Religion is fake. It's not connected to the life source. Religion tries to get its life source from out here. It's an outside in kind of thing. Relationship is an inside out kind of thing. The life source is connected to inside, and then fruit comes out. But if we do it the other way around, we're trying to produce fruit in the flesh, but it doesn't. It's not real fruit, right? Now, it may look good to some people. If you look at this situation, what is Jesus teaching? He's teaching them. They have just been from chapter 13 to chapter 16 is Jesus' conversation with them from the upper room. And then chapter 17 is his prayer. And then after that, we see Jesus going and the crucifixion happens and those things. But he's preparing his disciples. And so when they were in the upper room, he said, one of you is going to betray me. One of you, in essence, has the devil in him. And Judas would end up betraying Jesus. Now, there were 12 disciples. They were all hanging out, but there's one going to be gone. And Jesus is explaining to them, when they start to wonder why or where is Judas, Jesus is explaining that where there is no life, the branch will be cut away. Does that make sense? Judas was connected relationally to the disciples. He was connected or being in the presence of. He was more probably like a job than a relationship. But he knew him. He was connected that way. But there was no spiritual connection with Jesus with Judas. He was there. He's one of those ones like when Jesus said, you'll say, Lord, Lord, and then he'll say, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. Okay, that's the Judas. That's the Judas kind. He's there. He hangs out. He may serve. He may do things. But he doesn't truly know Jesus Christ. There's been no spiritual birth. And so what he's explaining to them is not everybody that looks the part really is a part. Judas looked the part. Let me ask you this question. If you were going to pick one of the 12, and you were going to say, if I were going to say, here are the 12 disciples, read everything you know about those 12 disciples, and you tell me which one, after reading, do you think is going to be the one who was the one not truly connected, who would you pick? Who? Peter. We would probably all pick Peter. Why? Because Peter seemed to be the one that was always telling Jesus, you know, Jesus would say something. He'd say, nope, not going to happen. Going to the cross. Got to die. Nope, you're not going to die. We're not going to let that happen. I mean, Peter was always that one. So we would look at him and we'd say, nah, if there was anybody there, Peter, he's full of himself. He's not connected to the vine for sure. And yet he was connected. And he's one of the ones that Jesus is speaking to here. So we don't get the luxury of deciding who is connected and who is not. We make mistakes when we do that. What we get the privilege of doing is teaching and preaching and sharing the word and letting him decide who is a part and who is not. Who is a real branch and who's a fake branch? Who's just hanging out with all God's people? Because you know what? Those are pretty good people. And so, you know, sometimes there's guys hanging out because it's like, hey, that's where the good girls are. So I want to date a good girl. And, you know, I think I'll go to church and find me a good girl. Well, some of you might like, that's where the good guys are. I want to go find me a good guy. I'm tired of finding those guys drunk in the bar. And they just seem to, I'm tired of finding those guys that won't do anything, won't get off the couch. And just stop marrying them then. Okay, Lord, please help me. So we hang around. There are benefits to hanging around the church and God's people. I mean, I kind of hang around because, you know, I get in these financial situations and I need a good relationship with the church so that they'll give me money when I need money. There are benefits to hanging around God's people even when you don't know Jesus. And that's what a lot of people do. There are some people hang around just to get their religious fix. It's just like, you know what? I feel good about myself this week because I went to church. And then they'll go for a little while, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, a month without going. It's like, you know, I just don't really feel good about myself. And then they'll go back. And coming to church is not about feeling good about yourself. It's about worshiping him and praising him and surrendering to him. That's what it's all about. So there are benefits, but being a religious appearing to be a connection to Jesus will leave you empty. Nowadays, I talk to a lot of people who just are disillusioned. It's like, it just doesn't work. This Christian stuff doesn't work for me. And so we're watching people depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And sometimes you think, how can somebody who knew Jesus go and become a part of another religion? The answer is they don't. People who truly know Jesus don't. People who are connected to the church, who are even connected to Jesus intellectually, they can. But when you've got Jesus in here, when you know him, when you're abiding in him, when you are when you're resting in him, when you're finding your joy in him, when you realize that all of life comes out of him, everything that even matters, everything that's good about life comes from him, when you know that. And there's something about knowing. You see, Jesus is the vine, and the life comes through the vine no matter what. Jesus can do nothing but give life. We connect to the vine by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves is a gift from God. So we know that's how we're connected to the vine. Right? That's how we connect. We're not connected by doing good works. We're not connected by doing those things. What he does say is that once you're connected, good works is the natural flow. So the issue I think that we have sometimes in the body of Christ is this. We try to be something. You know what? I need to try harder to be more loving. No, you need to try harder to surrender more and abide in Jesus more, and then you will be more loving. Amen. Does that make sense? Yeah. An orange tree does not have to sit and think, man, I think I need to bear more oranges and go, right? What does it do? It just abides. Just hangs out there and abides. Abides in the branch. Abides in where the life is coming from. And when it abides there, the fruit is just going to start coming. It doesn't even do anything. It doesn't fix anything. A branch can't even fix anything. It can't fix itself. A branch can't do anything. So who does that stuff? The Father. The Father's what? Who? The gardener. He's the one that takes responsibility. The Father takes responsibility of providing water, of providing sun, of providing all the nutrients that we need spiritually. To grow spiritually, the Father takes the responsibility to seeing to it that all of that is available to us. The one thing the Father won't do is make you do it. Does that make sense? He will not force you to receive. If you abide, and you stay connected, and you're in the Lord's presence, the vine will produce through the branch fruit. It just will happen. Anybody can deal with this allergy stuff? Went to the ladies retreat thing, and this is what she sounds like. She'll get her voice back by the time she gets home, though. It always happens that way. Jesus, forgive me for that one. Where are you in the process? The Father's provided his word, the water of his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us. He's given us the life of the vine in Jesus. What are we doing with any of that? Are we taking the water in to the branch? Are we taking the sunlight in? Are we taking the nutrients that he's providing in? Or are we just satisfied to just be there among God's people? Possibly even a fake fruit. Possibly even looking the part without relationship. Where are you We would have to do this for the 11 o'clock that's going to be online for all 7 million people that are going to be watching this in instead of the early service. But for those of you who garden, how many of you do that? You mean just one? Just that one? The one that makes her husband? Okay, let me ask this. Does anybody eat squash? Okay, now I've got your attention. Okay, I want to encourage y'all to start gardening because you don't know what they're putting in your food out there. Start growing it yourself. Get you some chickens in your backyard. You know what they're putting in that. You know what's going in the egg, right? Grow you some lettuce and make your own salad. Because they're, well, let's not even talk about it. So, there is this thing for a squash. It's called a squash vine borer. And what it is a little, it's a little, almost like a wasp kind of a bug that will fly over to your squash, and it goes right down to the bottom, right down at the very bottom where it comes out of the ground, and it lays eggs right on the plant. Those eggs hatch into little caterpillars, and those little caterpillars bore into the plant. And then they start eating from the inside. So you can go by and look at it, and everything looks fine. Next day, everything's looking fine, but the borer's eating, but you don't know it. And you go back in a couple more days, and it's like, okay, what? It looks a little bit weak. I'm not really sure what's going on here. I need to shoot it with a little bit of water. And so all of a sudden you watch that plant start to wilt until the plant is dead. And if you don't know, if you don't understand what that is, you may always wonder what killed my plant. Because you can't see the little critter on the inside. How many people do we know that everything looks good on the outside? Everything on the outside, you would think this person is rocking it with Jesus. But all of a sudden you watch them and it seems like their joy is gone. They're wilting. Their peace is gone. They're starting to wilt. And it's like, okay, their priorities start to change and they begin to wilt until they're no more. I sit with Carla a lot of times. A lot of people think because I don't have the privilege to get to know everyone personally at Harvest, a lot of people think, well, I'll never be missed. I sit down with Carla occasionally, and I'll say, have you seen? And I'll go through names and just find out, what's happened. Some of them you find out have decided they didn't believe anymore. And I'm trying to figure out how in the world do you go to a church like Harvest and then you decide that the Bible can't be trusted anymore. How do you do that? And then I begin to realize there's some people that look the part. I mean, look even better the part than other people, because there are times you'll see them and they'll be standing there and their hands will be raised up in the air, and it's just like, but it's something's missing. Christianity is an emotional thing for them, but it's not a heart, faith, relationship. And so there have been people that I thought, man, that person, they're doing so good, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and I find out, well, they decided that they don't believe anymore. And then it's just like, what? I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. There's no relationship. See, that's why I can't judge, because I'll do it wrong. I'll go and get this one. I'll say, well, you know what? I see them back there, and they're all happy all the time. Their hands raised up, and I mean, they got it. And then there'll be somebody up here, and they sit. They're kind of quiet and, you know, don't really say a whole lot. And then all of a sudden, that person is gone, and this person's still here. And 5 years later, they're still here. And 10 years later, they're still here. 30 years later, they're still here. And 50 years later, they're still here. Why? Because they got something real. You can fake fruit, or it can be real fruit. They both look very much alike. But you don't know what's what until the end. Is anybody with me? You don't know what's what until the end. That's the reason I don't make any decisions. I don't know. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. I assume. I can think. I believe. But it doesn't matter. Let's wait 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. We'll know what was real and what wasn't. Does this make sense to anybody? So here's my question for you. Is there a vine borer? Now, of course, the enemy cannot get into Jesus the vine, right? But his attempt to get into the branches. Has something dug in and is robbing the life, breath of God? Has something dug in that's robbing the life of God that's flowing inside? Has something got in and is eating away? It can be a lot of things. It can be a lot of things, but ultimately you boil them all down and it is a lack of trust and surrender. By the time you get it all, bud, you just don't know, I'm struggling with my finances. Do you trust him? Have you surrendered your finances to him? But it's a relationship. Do you trust him? And have you surrendered the relationship to him? And if it means the relationship is over, it's over. Trust and surrender. That's what it boils down to. Trust and surrender. What is it in your life right now, if anything, that's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of abiding in a loving relationship with one who will never fail you, who will never be unfaithful to you, who will always love you unconditionally, who will never leave you or forsake you? What is it that's keeping you from experiencing the joy unspeakable and full of glory? What is it that's keeping you from experiencing peace that passes all understanding? What is it that is eating away from the inside that is keeping you from being able to experience that life? And for some, we're watching you wilt away. Do you know that the only way to get rid of that vine borer is to go to the base of that plant and cut it and dig that caterpillar out? But here's the funny thing. I've seen some of those plants that look really rough. And you're thinking, how can that survive? When you get that out, you can see where it's been cut, and you can see the scars from it. But when that caterpillar is gone, that plant can come back to flourishing. And you may look at that plant and say, wow, what a scar. See, some of you, if you've known me long enough, you know that, man, there's some scars in this boy's life. They're not scars that you can see here, but there are scars in my life. But here's what you know. If you get it out, the life returns. The fullness of that life returns. Where are you? And what needs to be released from your life? Pray with me. Father, we praise you. I pray right now, Lord, that you just touch the hearts of your people powerfully. We want to bear fruit. And Lord, we know that in bearing fruit, that means also that you're going to use your word to prune away things in our life that don't belong. That's the knife that you're going to cut with to get that caterpillar out that's trying to take our life away. And for anybody in this room, help them see the hope that only comes from you. And that it's so much better to release those things and to surrender to you and just let you do what you do through our lives. We give you praise in Jesus' name. You are welcome this morning. If you need to come up here and pray, if there is a vine borer, if there's something in there that's eating the life away, it's time to let Jesus cut that out. Why don't we stand and sing?